That brings us now to the main part of the service, that is the guest. And I think Owen's with us. He was, he was busily trying to print off his talk. So thanks to May for her help in doing that. Owen's president of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and I think he'll fill us in terms of detail on the employment crisis. So please extend a very warm welcome to Owen Bennett. Thank you, Owen.
Thank you, Peter. And thank you to the Unitarian Church for being so kind to us over the years. And the fundraising event that you've put on for us is greatly appreciated, and it's going to do the world of good for us and our coffers. Australia is, and has for a long time, been in an employment crisis. According to the government's own figures, we have around 3 million people looking for work and only 166,000 job vacancies to go around. When you put that all together, that's 17 job seekers competing for every job vacancy. That's the reality. However, for a long time, both sides of politics have used every tool at their disposal to cover up this reality, to cover up this employment crisis. The official narrative of both major parties is that the problem is not a lack of available jobs, but the unwillingness or incapability of unemployed workers to accept those jobs. This outlook is used to justify not only the starvation rate of Newstart, which is $380 per fortnight below the poverty line, but also the humiliating social security system and the punitive regime of pointless appointments and activities unemployed workers are forced to attend every week. Despite the overwhelming evidence contradicting the government's victim-blaming narrative, first created by Malcolm Fraser, of course, after both parties abandoned the full employment model in the late 70s, no media or established political force has seriously challenged this narrative. Instead, the endless array of attacks on the unemployed and pensioners continue, supported by a compliant media and political establishment. Australia's growing employment crisis is not just unreported, it's systematically concealed. Considering that in Australia there are, according to the government's grossly manipulated figures, 732,000 people and their families affected by unemployment, a phenomenon known to lead to increased rates of poverty, mental and physical illness, crime and social dislocation, to name only a few. It is a national shame that this government's official victim-blaming narrative is not held up to further scrutiny. So who is really responsible for unemployment, and why has it been allowed to persist in Australia? These are the questions nobody wants to ask in the media, and no one in the political establishment wants to be asked. Over the next 20 minutes, I will explain how successive governments have perpetuated the victim-blaming approach in order to conceal Australia's growing employment crisis. Firstly, I will show how successive governments have deliberately manipulated the unemployment data to hide the nature of the employment crisis and pave the way for this victim-blaming approach we now have in this country. And finally, I will explain why governments all over the world regard high unemployment as not only acceptable, but desirable to the smooth running of the capitalist economy. So firstly, what is unemployment? An important part of the government's campaign to cover up Australia's employment crisis is to redefine the concept of unemployment in order to prevent people looking for work to be actually counted as unemployed in the official data. This makes the problem much worse than it actually is. In Australia, the official rate of unemployment is 5.7%. In other words, the government is prepared to acknowledge that there are 732,000 people who are without work, a figure that in nominal terms is more than five times the number of people who were unemployed during the Great Depression in the 30s. How did they arrive at this figure? Well, each month the ABS conducts a survey across a sample of Australian households. To be counted as unemployed in this survey, you must not have worked or volunteered more than 1 hour per week. You must be actively looking for work in the previous month, and you must be available to start work immediately. Now, this survey has been carefully created in order to minimise the number of people that can be counted as unemployed. It's vastly different from the way they used to count the data in the 70s, where the unemployed figure came from the amount of people enrolled at the Commonwealth Employment Service. And that was much harder for the government to manipulate. It was just a simple figure of how many people were enrolled at the CES. However, after the abandonment of full employment in 1975 by both parties and when unemployment started to skyrocket, it became necessary for governments to introduce new ways of collecting unemployment data in order to conceal this growing crisis. A closer look at the ABS clearly reveals this manipulation, the Australian Bureau of Statistics data. Firstly, let's take a look at the government's refusal to count anyone who volunteers 1 hour a week as unemployed. As part of the government's own requirements for being on the dole, it forces tens of thousands of people to volunteer. The government think they're pretty clever because what they've done is they've created a system where tens of thousands of people, the only way for them to collect an unemployment entitlement is for them to not be counted as unemployed, because purely by the fact they volunteer, it means they can't be counted as unemployed. It comes as no surprise, then, that in the recent budget, the government drastically increased requirements of Australians to volunteer across all age groups. This hasn't been reported at all in the media, surprise, surprise. And there's lots of people in Australia who volunteer, lots of them. But the latest data released in 2010 said there's 1.22 million people who are unemployed who volunteer. That's 1.2 million people that the government have deliberately swept under the carpet in order to conceal the true nature of our employment crisis. Adding to this statistical sleight of hand is the government's refusal to count anyone as unemployed who works just 1 hour a week. Currently, there are 1.1 million Australians who are considered underemployed, people who are working but are looking for more, a growing scourge in Australia, as many here would be aware. As a result of the way the government counts statistics, these people, many of whom who rely on Newstart to survive due to lack of work, will never be counted as unemployed. Refusing to count underemployed people as unemployed is very convenient for this government, not just because it conceals the true nature of our employment crisis, but also because it has allowed the coalition to get away with presiding over the collapse of the full-time labour market. I'll explain this a little bit. More than three-quarters of the jobs created under the coalition, about 650,000 jobs have been created since the coalition took power. More than three-quarters of those jobs have been part-time jobs. That's the biggest proportion ever under a government that has been part-time jobs. It's the biggest increase in part-time employment since statistics began. As a result of this explosion in underemployment, the average hours worked per adult has actually decreased. We're working less than we ever have before. And yet, because of the way unemployment statistics are counted in this country, the coalition can turn around and boast that they've created more than 500,000 jobs because these people are counted as employed. It's just such a manipulation that's happening here. So you've got, on top of the 1.2 million volunteers who are not counted, on top of that, you've got a further 1.1 million underemployed people who are also looking for work aren't being counted. A total of 2.3 million Australians looking for work that will never be counted in the official data. And finally, there is the requirement that someone looks for work over the previous month to be counted as unemployed. In 2005, the then Abbott government tendered out three new employment services contracts to private companies to help people look for work at a cost of about $10 billion over 6 years. A lot of money. It's the second biggest procurement industry. And we're going to watch a film on that later today. This is where the Unemployed Workers Union does most of its work in dealing with employment services agencies and trying to defend unemployed workers when they're dealing with these people. This industry, though, rather than actually help people get work, this employment services industry is just a thinly veiled attempt to punish unemployed workers. As part of this system, unemployed people are forced to attend a range of punitive activities, appointments and training, such as the Dangerous Work for the Dole program, just one example. These activities run by a corrupt and unregulated industry, which actually gives agencies perverse financial incentives to penalise unemployed people, which has led to a huge increase of penalties. In 2005, job agencies and Centrelink imposed a record 2 million penalties on unemployed workers. That's out of only about 800,000 people who attend these agencies. So it's about just under 3 per person of penalties. Compare that to the equivalent figure of penalties in 2011, which was about 200,000. So in the space of 5 years, you've got a 10 times increase of penalties imposed on unemployed workers. This is a very deliberate strategy. So this system, by imposing all these penalties on unemployed workers, making it just humiliating, degrading, and punitive experience being unemployed, has been very successful pushing people off the dole. And this goes back to my point about the data and trying to conceal the employment crisis. Because by making collecting the dole as humiliating and as difficult as possible, the government has succeeded in not only pushing unemployed people into the arms of dodgy employers who offer illegal rates of pay and conditions, thus making them underemployed, but also forcing people to give up looking for work altogether because they're so demoralised and so beaten down and crushed. This group of people is known as the discouraged job seekers and has been skyrocketing lately and is now around 1 million people in Australia. This is going by the ABS figures. You can find these figures in the ABS, you just have to look for them. And it's very well hidden, but it's there. There's 1 million people who are known as discouraged job seekers. So when you add all these people together, the volunteers who aren't being counted in the data, who are unemployed, the underemployed people who are looking for work who aren't counted in the data, and then these discouraged job seekers who aren't counted in the data, all these hidden unemployed people, it's over 3 million people. And that doesn't even count the people the government are saying are unemployed. So 3 million people, over 3 million people, competing for 166,000 listed job vacancies. That's the reality of what we're in right now. As long as the coalition are allowed to hide behind the lie that there are only 732,000 people looking for work, they will continue to get away with presenting unemployment as a product of individual failure, blaming the victim, essentially. Once it's common knowledge that there are, in fact, more than 3 million people looking for work, a figure that represents about 25 or 20% of the workforce, then the government will no longer be able to sweep the suffering of so many people under the rug as they have done for a long time. It's up to us here to remind politicians and our friends and everyone we know about the reality of being unemployed and argue that it's the government's responsibility to address this crisis. Why have successive governments allowed the employment crisis to exist in the first place? When you dig underneath the government's official narrative that blames unemployed people for their own unemployment, when you look a bit under the surface, it's clear that both sides of politics regard unemployment as acceptable, desirable even, for the smooth functioning of our capitalist economy. According to the dominant economic ideology, and this is taught at unis across the world, an unemployment rate of between 4 to 6% is considered the natural rate of unemployment because it prevents inflation. This is what people are being taught today. So going by this definition, Australia is currently in a period of full employment. Lucky us. This fiction has become so pervasive that even the Reserve Bank of Australia, if you go to its website and have a look at what it aims to do in the economy, it's committed to maintaining full employment, the Reserve Bank. That's what it says on its website. So Australia's high unemployment economy is a deliberate government policy. Why is this? Why are they trying to maintain a pool of 3 million people, desperate and impoverished, looking for work? That just isn't there. The simple answer is that a society with high unemployment, particularly when those unemployed people are condemned to a life of poverty and treated like second-class citizens, is a society where employers have the upper hand. It is a society where employers can threaten disobedient workers with the horrors of unemployment. It is a society where employed workers can be bullied into accepting real wage decreases, as we've seen in Australia, and declining conditions of work. Of course, there is nothing new about this technique. Going back as far as the 19th century, Karl Marx wrote that unemployment is, quote, a lever of capitalist accumulation, a condition of existence of the capitalist mode of production. It forms a disposable industrial reserve army that belongs to capital quite as absolutely as if the latter had bred it at its own cost. Independently of the limits of the actual increase of population, it creates, for the changing needs of the self-expansion of capital, a mass of human material always ready for exploitation by capital in the interest of capital's own changing requirements. Now, some of you here today might think, well, that's what Marx says, and that's, you know, you can expect that from Marx. Well, it's not just Marx who says that. The right wing say that. The conservatives say that. They acknowledge this. In 1943, the conservative English newspaper, The Times, agreed with Marx's essential analysis. And this quote is, I think, is so descriptive of what's happening right now and the motivations behind governments creating unemployment. The quote reads, "Unemployment is not a mere accidental blemish in a private enterprise economy. On the contrary, it is a part of the essential mechanism of the system and has a definite function to fulfill. The first function of unemployment, which has always existed in open or disguised form, is that it maintains the authority of master over man. The master has normally been in a position to say, if you do not want the job, there are plenty of others who do. When the man can say, if you do not want to employ me, there are plenty of others who will, the situation is radically altered. This is why high unemployment exists in every capitalist country in the world. Unemployment is not just an issue affecting people without work. It affects us all. It is the central battleground in the ongoing struggle between capital and labour. It's as simple as that. For too long, unemployment has been considered a side issue. It's time we made fighting for the rights and dignity of unemployed workers and pensioners a priority. I encourage you to join this struggle and join the AUWU and get involved in the day-to-day tasks of running a national unemployed workers' union. It's challenging, but I can say it's highly rewarding work. Membership is free and open to everyone. Once you sign up on our website, you will receive all the updates about the work we are doing across the country. We have 40 branches and about 7,000 members, and we're growing every day. In Melbourne, we meet every second Friday of the month at Trades Hall and every Tuesday of the week at the National Union of Workers to discuss ongoing campaigns. Some of our recent campaigns include Justice for Josh, in which we are demanding the government properly investigate the tragic death of teenager Josh Park Thing at his Work for the Dole site last year. Work for the Dole is a system that is created by the government to punish unemployed workers and put them into dangerous sites. According to its own audit of the industry, 64% of the risk assessments undertaken at Work for the Dole sites across the country didn't meet basic safety standards. That's about 50,000 people who are forced onto sites that haven't got basic safety standards. Josh Park Thing's death is a product of that system. We've also seen the 5 times increase of injuries at Work for the Dole when it was expanded under Abbott. These are the sort of campaigns we're working on. Another campaign is our Dignity Not Debt and Dignity Not Drug Test movements, in which we are demanding Centrelink be overhauled to respect the rights and dignity of unemployed workers and pensioners. As part of this campaign, the union recently rallied at a Centrelink in Morwell. And when we rocked up, there was about 10 cops out the front with six cop cars and a DB van. We're also about to kick off our Voice to the Voiceless campaign, in which we'll give unemployed workers a platform to talk about their experiences at job agencies and encourage them to get informed about their rights so they can't get bullied, can't get crushed by job agencies. And we're going to encourage them to look at our Unemployed Workers' Rights booklet, which we've created, and call our 5-day-a-week national hotline, which offers advice to unemployed workers dealing with these struggles. This year, we're also involved in our first campaign pressuring government to create a fair society and create a right to work for people. This is known as the Right to Work Coalition, and we'll be starting a broad movement under that banner to try and get all groups involved who have any sort of stake in job creation, get them all involved under the Right to Work banner and demanding the government return to the full employment economy where dignity was given to all workers. We'll be launching this movement in Melbourne on July 21st, so put that in your diaries. It's going to be a conference held at the NTEU buildings with a great array of speakers, including economist Jim Stanford from the Australian Institute, John Falzon from St. Vincent's, and economist Steve Keen. And it's going to be the beginning of a wider movement where we're trying to get as many progressive forces involved in the fight for full employment in this economy, for the government to stand up and address this employment crisis. I would encourage all people passionate about pushing back against the forces of big business to join this struggle. I look forward to seeing you there. Thank you.